Anybody planning to start a small business is in for a lot of work. Most people know that. But we're reminded frequently that there's also a lot of help available for people starting businesses. There's just a plethora of offices and agencies set up to help guide and nurture businesses to and through successful launches. Those include small business development centers scattered across the landscape, but often anchored at college campuses, like the SBDC at Southern Oregon University. See, this really is an alphabet soup. Jack Vitacco is the director of the Small Business Development Center at Southern Oregon University and our guest in the studio. Jack, welcome back.
Thank you.
And we also have with us two people who've gotten some service from the Small Business Development Center over the years, from Artisan Iworks in Ashland, Dr. Michael Hoyt. Hi, Michael.
Morning, Jeffrey. How you doing?
And Dr. Kimberly Hoyt as well.
Good morning.
Good to have you here. So, Jack, give us a bit of a perspective first on what SBDCs are and do.
Sure. The SBDC network, actually, Jeffrey, is it's a national network, Small Business Development Centers. We're created by and we're funded by the Small Business Administration. But I think even more importantly than that, we're funded locally. So while we are a national program, we are always hosted by a local host. And in most cases, it's either a university or a community college. So in this case, we are hosted by Southern Oregon University. The best way I can explain it is that we are a community service provided to the community by SOU. And essentially what we do is we provide one-to-one confidential business advising to people who are either starting a business or already in business and want to take it to another level.
So either Michael or Kimberly, tell us about Artisan Iworks and the kind of, well, first of all, the kind of work you do, but second of all, the kind of help you sought out and got from the SBDC.
Well, we're both optometrists, and we were in a large practice, and we're considering going out on our own. And I'd like to echo something that Jack said, that they offer confidential advice. So if you're just even kicking tires and thinking about what you want to do, you can do that with SBDC without any risk of it popping out into the community and coming back to haunt you if you're just kicking tires, trying to decide if it fits. So we decided we wanted to change pace and do a smaller, more personal, focused
more artisanal
practice
kind of thing.
Yeah, that would be good by hand, literally. And we wanted to represent smaller eyewear producers and see far fewer patients because we were kind of tired of doing the factory approach to eye care and wanted to see if it was feasible to do something different. But we didn't know much about business because all we've ever been is doctors, not business people.
Had you generally worked for other people then through other practices?
Yes, our whole career for one practice.
And so you lacked you certainly knew how to do things with eyeglasses and that part of things, but was the business end still kind of a mystery to both of you, Kimberly?
Yes. Every day I diagnose and treat keratoconjunctivitis sicca, which is dry eye, but I didn't know what a P&L was.
Profit and loss statement?
Profit and loss statement, yeah. So it's like learning a whole new language and new culture.
So when people come in with that level of knowledge, Jack Vitacco, I mean, what's the first push you give? I mean, do you send them off to classes or what do you do?
No, what we do is we work, again, you know, individually with them. And I think most of us as business advisors will start by just a general conversation. Tell me about the concept. What are you thinking about doing? And just to get a general feel of it. I think we fairly quickly try to get into a marketing discussion then, meaning, have you looked at the market? Is it there? What's the potential? Is this something that's really needed? Is there room for it? The other thing we look at very closely and very early on is the financial feasibility of it. You know, is this really going to work financially? And we use a lot of different or several different models to play that out.
So does this mean there are situations where you're going to have people like the Hoyts come in and you're going to say, you know what, this really doesn't pencil out?
Yes. It does.
Really?
It does. And you know, we're very non-judgmental about it, Jeffrey. We really try to help people through questions and answers and looking at this, try to help them through the process so they can look at it themselves. I've many times heard somebody look at the bottom line and look at the cash flow and say, you know, this is going to be a lot of work and it's just not going to play out financially. So they'll make that decision, or they'll change the model and do something else.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, is how much model changing goes on? I mean, do you say, well, you know, it'll work if you do this, this, and this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can see this happening.
That does happen, yes, yes. And oftentimes, you know, the stumbling block or the barrier might be, well, am I going to be able to get the startup money to do this? Am I going to be able to get the operating capital afterwards? So sometimes it's changing the model. Sometimes even changing the model, if there's just not enough market share available for one thing, or the revenue just isn't going to play out, then people will make that decision. Or maybe look for a different business, different opportunity.
We're talking about small business development centers and what they do. Jack Vitacco is the SBDC director at Southern Oregon University. We have the folks from Artisan iWorks here with us as well, Dr. Michael Hoyt, Dr. Kimberly Hoyt. You can join us on the Jefferson Exchange with your questions and comments about getting small businesses off the ground. Maybe you've done it yourself. We'd love to hear your level of expertise back. 800-838-3760 around the region by phone, by email jx@jeffnet.org. So aside from learning right off the bat, Kimberly, that you didn't know what a P&L was, what other things did you come away from that first meeting with the folks at the SBDC with?
The other thing was that we were thinking about hiring our business manager or business office manager pretty much right away. Had no idea what the paperwork involved was. And our counselor there really helped walk me through that, because a lot of it's legalese and I have a hard time with that.
So a lot of the real paperworky kinds of like human resources things were
yes.
a bit unclear.
Mm-hmm.
That must be a whole realm off into itself, Jack Vitacco.
That is. And actually, Jeffrey, and I'm glad you brought that up, that oftentimes people will come to us initially because they want to ask us about their legal structure. Should we be a sole proprietor? Should we be a C-Corp? Should we be an S-Corp? We've fairly quickly tell them that we can give you some basic language, we can give you some basic knowledge about that, but when it comes to legal and tax, we always suggest that they see a professional there. We're not attorneys, and we're not tax accountants, but that comes up very frequently. But I think oftentimes that just giving people the basic language and a basic understanding, there's so much available online now that one can do their own filings.
So, Michael Hoyt, did you and Kimberly get back together after that first meeting with the Small Business Development Center and go, oh, boy, but then begin to map out a plan? I mean, I'm curious to know what the next steps were for you guys.
Well, we had our plan relatively fleshed out in that we already had a business plan. It turns out we had the software that they recommend at the SBDC, and it's a live plan, and it's a great piece of software. But we went through some iterations of that to just see if it was feasible, and it turns out that one of the things they helped us figure out was that we made some incorrect assumptions about cash flow that actually helped us out dramatically when we figured out that, you know what, we don't have to wait this long for our cash to come back in, which means we need less startup money. So we started with a business plan, and that's, I think, where most people should start. But if you don't even have that, that's kind of where they start the groundwork at mm-hmm. SBDC is form a business plan, see what you want to do, see what the gazintas and the gazoutas, as Jethro Bodine would say, look like. And then I think it's, as Jack was saying, sometimes they shut things down or people decide it's not feasible. But it's way better to figure that out when you're working on a piece of paper than it is when you're working with real money.
And real people. And
correct.
Real products. How long ago did you start Artisan iWorks?
We saw our first patients the very last week of January this year.
Really?
Yeah, so we're pretty fresh.
We're not even
kidding.
A year old. So.
Wow. And so how are things feeling at this point, Kimberly?
Good. Yes. I feel comfortable, and I always have them as a resource to go back, because occasionally questions come up that I don't understand or I need more help with. And so it's nice to know that they're kind of there to hold your hand through the process.
Is there a charge for services at the Small Business Development Center, Jack?
No, there's not. That is one thing that's mandated by the SBA when we were created, is that the one-to-one business advising must remain free. So that's a no-fee service.
Grab your headphones. We have a call on the line. Let's go to Stephen in Fort Bragg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking about, whoops, I guess we're not going to talk to Stephen in Fort Bragg. He has left the line. Oh, well. Let's talk about the things that businesses do In your situation, the Hoyts, I'm curious to know if you had any doubts about where to turn first. I mean, because, again, it can be a bit of an alphabet soup between the SBDC, the SBA, the Small Business Administration. We recently talked to the Secretary of State of Oregon's small business advisor. So mm-hmm. there are all kinds of places to turn. Were there some questions in your minds where to go first?
We found out about this resource. I was looking into taking a class in QuickBooks, and so I was looking at the class schedule. And then on the website, I saw the small business products and everything. And then I looked into it and set up our first meeting, and it was great.
You can join our discussion on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, jx@jeffnet.org by email. I think we have him back on the line now. Here's Stephen in Fort Bragg. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. Stephen, you there? Stephen in Fort Bragg?
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, Steve Dunlap. I'm a roofing contractor in Fort Bragg. If you're going to go into business, whatever your trade or skill is, whether you're a chef, a doctor, a roofer, whatever, those skills are important. But what's most important, ultimately, is business skills you must cultivate. You have to learn how to run a business with all the tax laws and labor laws and marketing, advertising, everything. It's a whole different animal, running a business as opposed to doing your skill. And once you do get in business, the three most important things every day is money, money, money. If you don't generate a profit, you cannot do anything for anybody, much less yourself. So those are my comments.
All right. Keep a look at the bottom line. Thanks for that. Appreciate it, Stephen. So obviously getting outside the comfort zone and getting outside the realm of what you know. As you mentioned, Kimberly, you know how to diagnose eye conditions, but this, you know, P&Ls and HR paperwork, this is a different breed. So how far did you two get outside your comfort zone to become the owners and operators of your own business?
Well, I think even a simple concept, which is that you can generate profit and still go out of business because your cash flow doesn't keep up with where you're at. If the money you've booked those revenues, but they don't come in until you know, far after you have to pay your bills, you can end up in significant trouble. And it was just a complete eye-opening for both of us. Balance sheet, profit and loss, all those issues we didn't really have a clue on. I'd like to say my old job was I look for the blinking light, the one that's blinking fastest, I push it and go in and take care of the patient, and then I come out and I look for the next fast blinking light, and that was it. And it's being a doctor is complicated, but it's very limited on what you do. You go in and you're a doctor. When you were a business person, it opens up a whole realm of things. Marketing, tax structure. I mean, it's just it's a litany of huge things that you just never think about when you're thinking this idea could fly. And mm-hmm. SBDC really helped us sort out what we didn't know. You know, we didn't know what we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Did I see agreement from you, Jack, on Steve Dunlap's identification of the top three things to worry about?
Absolutely.
Money,
yes.
Money.
Well, it is. If it doesn't play out financially, it's not going to last long. Again, that's one of the things. In my business advising lately, I've found that I go to it in the first session. I bring out a spreadsheet and I say, let's look at this. Let's look at what you think the revenue stream is going to be based on what you know about the market. How many people are going to come in? What are you going to charge? What is it going to cost you to do that? So, and I'm not a financial person. I wasn't in the past, but I've learned a lot just by doing this and hands-on, as I'm sure that Drs. Kimberly and Michael have, that if you look at it and analyze it, it plays out. And the important thing, though, is having that understanding of why it's important to manage a business by the numbers, as well as many other things, you know, the marketing and the human resources and so on.
One of the reasons we asked you in here was to talk about the 13th Annual Rogue Valley Business Resource Forum coming up on the 17th of October, a Saturday, a week from Saturday. Is this something that is generally geared towards small businesses, Jack?
Yes, it is. Right. And as you mentioned, it's our 13th annual. We've been doing this every year. And it's a one-day forum. It's also a free event. Not only is it a free event, but it includes breakfast and lunch, light breakfast, light lunch. The day is filled with workshops. We have about 25 exhibitors that will be there. We're kicking the day off with a panel discussion of six local business owners, people who have been in business for a while. And that panel is going to be hosted by Jim Teese, will be our MC. And the panel discussion...
He's from Project A in Ashland.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And Jim also has been involved with the business fair all 13 years. He's one of our key workshop presenters and just very involved. So that discussion is going to be about what does it take to be in business? How do you succeed in business? And I'm sure there will be a lot of discussion about what were some of the barriers, what were some of the hard things you had to overcome.
Will you get people to come to things like a resource forum like this one coming up who might be a little shy about showing up to see you one-on-one at the SBDC?
Will we get people that would be? For the most part, I think the business fair is a good icebreaker, actually. If they've not worked with us before or worked with any of the resources in the area, the business fair is a great place because you're surrounded by a lot of other people. You can, if you want to keep your anonymity about your business idea at that time, it's a great place to be. You can go to any one of the, there are 12 workshops throughout the day, I'm sorry, 369 workshops throughout the day, and attend any one of those, then network during the lunch hour, meet some of the resources that will be there. But we oftentimes will have people follow up from the fair and call us for business advising.
And this is Saturday, October 17th, 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Where?
Yes. It's at the Higher Education Center in Bedford. That's 101 South Bartlett. And actually this year we're throwing something else. And again, Jim Teese from Project A is going to sponsor a just a get-together after the day of the fair at the building. And we'll be sponsoring a networking event, and I think we'll have some refreshments. And so if people stick around, they can talk to each other and talk about what they've gotten from the event.
And how do they register?
Simply go to sou.edu/bizfair.
Bizfair.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
BIZFAIR. Yes. Or they can call us 541-552-8300.
8300. For the Hoyts, final question. How many hours a day are you working now? Since you're running your own business, have you managed to fight that down over the course of this year?
It's more than eight. It certainly goes into the evening with reading and paperwork.
But are you glad you made the step?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It's very much a what we would call an NPR, an encore career. It's the same thing, but very different.
Another act. Okay. Kimberly Hoyt, Michael Hoyt, proprietors of Artisan Eyeworks. Jack Vitacco is the director of the Small Business Development Center at Southern Oregon University. Thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you,
Jeffrey.